Cancel culture is our topic. Another term for that is reputational terrorism. Our guest is Bill Federer. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. Bill, it's great to have you back on the program. Bill Federer, by the way, is a great guy, and he's also a best-selling author. He's been quoted and cited by the United States Supreme Court in one of the decisions they got right, and he's a highly sought-after speaker. Bill, you are my good friend, and thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
That's the opposite of cancel culture here. First of all, let's define cancel culture. And also, I don't know if you've ever heard that term, reputational terrorism.
Right. So basically, cancel culture is the opposite of Christianity. So Christianity, you forgive faults. Cancel culture, you do not forgive faults. If someone has offended you, then you destroy them. You erase them. You get them fired from their jobs. You sue them. You deplatform them. You get retailers to drop their products. It is vengeance. Even in Leviticus, it says, do not hold a grudge against your neighbor. Jesus over and over said, unless you forgive, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. And so if you're involved in cancel culture and you're retaliating, you are not going to heaven, according to Jesus. If you're not forgiving from your heart, Jesus said. And Jesus, the most innocent of anybody that's ever lived, when he was unjustly being crucified, said what? Father, forgive them. And so if he is our example of being treated unjustly, and our response is to forgive, to love your enemies, to do good to those that hate you, to pray for those that despitefully use you, you're witnessing, you're demonstrating the love of Christ. It says in 1 John, if you do not love, you do not know God. And he that hateth is a murderer, and the love of God is not in him. So what we're seeing, woke, is basically the opposite of being born again. Mm. Right? So you're born again, you want to do nice to other people because you've had a change in your heart. You're accepted by God, and so you want to accept others. Woke is rejecting those that do not fit into your little sphere, and it keeps getting smaller and smaller. So the people that are woke today, unless they give up some more of their personal views, they'll be rejected tomorrow or they'll be rejected the next day. So it's very vindictive, and it is the opposite of Christianity.
You know, it's interesting. We at D. James Kennedy Ministries have done some programs, as you well know, on the Southern Poverty Law Center, because they have this map. They have basically declared themselves the arbiters of what is, you know, hate group and who are the haters in our society and all this stuff. And initially, you know, they're talking about the KKK and groups that we would agree, you know, yeah, that is a hate group. But in the, about 5 to 10 years ago, they started classifying Christian groups, legitimate Christian groups, as haters because they disagree on the, you know, let's say the radical homosexual agenda. Well, that doesn't make them haters. So, for example, in the extremists of hate profile of the Southern Poverty Law Center, I've seen this myself. I've even reported on it for D. James Kennedy Ministries. This is a lengthy illustration, but I just want to make this point and then let you wax eloquent on it. Okay. They have David Duke, okay? Here's a former guy with a KKK or whatever, and they have a profile of him. Okay, I can understand it. But above David Duke is David Barton. David Barton, our mutual friend who's a walking encyclopedia on America's Christian roots. And then below David Duke, they have David Horowitz. David Horowitz, the former communist who became a conservative. And they're both listed as extremists of hate and so forth. And it's just like, you can't be serious. I mean, David Horowitz is extremely careful in his research and so forth, but you know, they don't like him because he's a very strong conservative today.
Yeah, you know, Peter went to Jesus And he said, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? And Jesus said, 70 times 7. So if what the cancel culture does is it harbors offenses. It nurtures offenses. It lives in the realm of being offended. But there's a parable where Jesus says that a rich man forgives his servant. He goes and throws a fellow servant in prison. And then the Lord said unto the servant, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt. Shouldest thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant? And it says the Lord turned him over to the tormentors. And he says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you if from your hearts you forgive not every one their trespasses. So where Jesus taught forgiveness, the cancel culture is you stoke grievances. You retaliate. I was talking with Alan Keyes recently. The cancel culture says, do to others as they have done to you and your ancestors. Right? So where Jesus says, do unto others as you have them do unto you, the cancel culture says, do unto others as they have done unto you and to your ancestors. But again, Leviticus 19:18, you shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge. And now one of the tactics the woke culture uses is called shaming. And it is an outside-in behavior modification method. So you get people to change their behavior, forcing them from the outside in through guilt and shaming. So the adherents must continually adjust their behavior to an ever-changing set of woke rules out of this fear of rejection. And it's basically a religion of works, of which one can never do enough to earn redemption. You can never do enough works, right? You bow down, they want you to bow down lower. You bow down lower. And if somebody lets down their guard, even for a moment in public or private, and they tweet or post a word which could be mistook as insensitive, or someone has a photo resurface from their unwoke past of something that could be considered insensitive, that person is instantly shunned by friends, abandoned by followers, and ignored for the rest of their life. So there's no forgiveness there.
Yeah.
And now the opposite of this is the gospel. The gospel brings a behavioral change from the inside out, that you have accepted, you've been accepted by God because you have faith that Jesus died on the cross to pay for all your sin. And once you feel the joy that you are accepted by God, you cannot contain it. You want to share that joy with others. And Jesus says, whatever you do to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. So you want to treat all the people that are less fortunate well, because you're doing it as unto Jesus. So it's a behavioral change, but it's from the inside out. It's based on. So the question is, would you rather have someone have their behavior change and them exhibit caring actions toward you because they love you, or because they're being terrified of being canceled by some group? Now, this is a powerful, powerful force. Even Peter, who was with Jesus for 3 years, publicly denied Jesus when asked by an unnamed girl so that Peter would not be rejected by a group standing around the fire outside of the high priest Caiaphas's house. I mean, here's a bunch of strangers. And he's so afraid of being rejected by this group that here he'll deny Jesus that he was with for 3 years. The power of being accepted or rejected by a group is very, very powerful. And the only way you can break through that is to have the inside change. So once Jesus rose from the dead, Peter believed in him. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter had a behavioral change. And he was bold, and he cared about the beggars and publicly prayed for their healings and miracles happened. So instead of bringing about behavioral changes through diversity training, intersectionality classes, confessing privilege, shaming exercises, sensitivity codes that pressure people from the outside in to change their behavior or they'll be rejected by a group, instead of all those classes, All we need is people to present the gospel and help people to be born again. And then they'll change from the inside out, and then they'll care for the less fortunate people because God has put his love in their heart. So basically, the woke culture is a perverted imitation of the gospel.
Interesting. Okay, we have about 3 minutes left. How about using as a case example the French Revolution? Would you say that was almost like cancel culture on steroids?
Yeah, and it was all just an accusation. So Robespierre would go into their French assembly, and he would pull out a list of people that he considered that weren't loyal to the revolution. And it could be true, it could be not true, it could just be an accusation. And the mob would get whipped up into a frenzy and would go grab this person and without a trial bring them down to the guillotine and chop their head off. And that's what the cancel culture is. It's just an accusation. Nobody gets a chance to explain themselves. If they deem you, there's what's called, I was reading something by Piers Morgan, and it was a LGBT pylon. In other words, once they put it out there, they spread it through their social communities, and they all pile on. They'll flood whatever employer or government agency with all kinds of mean tweets and threats and posts, and the pressure is a pylon, and the school caves and fires the person or something like that. The Bible is there. God is not a respecter of persons. Peter said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Yet the cancel culture is total respect of persons, that you treat one person better than another because of their race, their religion, their class, or how they treated somebody or were treated in the past or their ancestors were treated in the past. It's all partiality. Cancel culture is partiality. The Bible is impartiality.
Yeah, and what's interesting,
treat everyone the same. The social justice is you treat everyone not the same.
Wow. All right, and going back to the French Revolution, the interesting thing is the revolution consumes its own. So eventually, Robespierre himself became what? A victim of the guillotine.
Yeah. No, another quote to throw in is Ezekiel 18:20. It says, the child shall not share the guilt of the parent. Yet the woke culture demands that children pay reparations for the sins of their parents.
Whoa.
It is exactly opposite the Bible. The woke culture, the cancel culture, is the reverse of Christianity.
Wow. Okay, Bill Federer, people can read your stuff at AmericanMinute.com. And we still have 1 minute left. So if you want to just close with a closing thought on cancel culture, saying something beyond what you've already said, which is fantastic.
Right. So the cancel culture redefines sin. So the Bible says sin is violating God's moral code. Jesus didn't get rid of the law. He paid the penalty for us breaking it. He didn't celebrate or affirm people in their sin. He forgave the adulterous woman, and then he told her what? Go and sin no more. So Jesus taught that God made them male and female. Yet the woke culture says that not only is there any type of sex possible, you must endorse it, encourage it, and celebrate it. And if you don't, silence is violence. You've committed a woke sin. Sitting there quiet is not enough. You have to verbally, actively celebrate and endorse them in their changed anti-biblical sexual activity. Otherwise, you've committed the woke sin, right? So they've flipped the whole definition of sin. Instead of sin being violating God's moral law, now they say you have to violate God's moral law and approve of violating God's moral law. Otherwise, you've committed a woke sin.
Wow, sounds like Romans 1 to me. We're out of time. Bill Federer, always a pleasure. AmericanMinute.com. Thank you, Bill. All the best.
Thank you, Jerry.